When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, 6-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
You can stop the music because Christmas has been canceled, even in Hawaii. That's how dark things are. Welcome aboard to our friends at CHSN and everybody listening at home. It's just that things have gotten too dark and there's nowhere to put it. So we're going to have to cancel.
How about Thanksgiving?
Some.
You canceling that too?
No, that's okay. That's win day. That's where they finally get their win. Of
Is that
the
when they're
going
to get it?
No.
Yeah.
But we are delighted to welcome in the great Olin Krutz. He joins us as all our guests do on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Olin, I wish there were happier reasons to speak, but that was awful, and that was the worst loss in a long time. That was a complete defeat against the team that came into the game with the number one overall pick. That's how bad they are because their schedule was the weakest in the league, and they had more losses against a weak schedule than anyone else. Now the Bears look weaker. I don't know how to take what happened yesterday and where to put it. A lot of calls already, and I know you had tons of them yesterday. Just fire everyone, fire everything, end it all.
Yeah, it's really what happens when you're looking for answers and there are none, right? When you're looking at, you're talking about the Patriots having the first pick, their strength of schedule. But even more than that is when you turn their film on, that's what you saw also, right? When you turned their film on, you saw a team that was really struggling, not a lot of talent in a lot of spots, and a team that the Chicago Bears, we thought going into the game, when you looked at the Chicago Bear roster, when you looked at their coaching staff, they had advantages everywhere. And then they were at home, which gives you a +3 advantage anyway in the betting markets. And the Chicago Bears still came out. And like you're saying, you're looking for answers on the film, because for me, that's what gives you all your answers, right? You don't have to guess when you're looking at film. It tells you exactly what you're looking at when you watch a football team. And when you watch them in Arizona, you really got worried about what you were looking at and the level guys are performing at and the regression, which you expect out of a young quarterback. A little regression mid-season, guys, is normal, right? He gets on film. Things have sped up. People are taking away what he likes to do. Now he's got to make some adjustments. But as far as the offensive line injuries, the defensive line injuries, obviously, I'm sure you guys have talked about Montez Sweat is not healthy. The Patriots score 10 points at the end of the half, really put that game away. And we were at the pre- and post-game show and said to each other, man, this could end up being a blowout, which was shocking for us. And all of a sudden it did. 19-3 in the NFL is a blowout. So, yes, When you're looking for answers, you don't really know what's going on in the building. You don't really know what they're doing there, whose fault it is, whose fault is that play, why was there 9 sacks, why can't anybody stop Austin Hooper, why is the wide receiver open there, why does Tyree Stevenson lose discipline on that play by the goal line? But you don't know the answers to those things. Why isn't the offense working? Your first response is to scream, please, fire somebody.
So, Olin, if Kevin Warren and or George McCaskey were to call you this morning and offer you more than the $15 an hour they once offered you.
Maybe double.
To be a consultant, to ask you where to start. What would you recommend them doing or the first thing that they would have to do today?
It's hard, right? Because football is all about your foundation, right? And it looks like it's crumbling under the Chicago Bears. It's all about things you've built in the offseason, your weight room program, and you get to a point in the season. And if those things weren't right, guys, and something bad happens, your foundation has to save you, right? The things you've leaned on since last March, since last January, February, things that built this football team, it looks like they're not believing in them. And then they got a bunch of injuries. So a lot of key guys we talked about yesterday. Who are the only guys they couldn't lose is the guys that they've lost, right? Andrew Billings, Darnell Wright, Montez Sweat is out there fighting through an injury, but he doesn't look like himself, right? DJ Moore, we haven't seen him. Keenan Allen, Caleb's not playing well. So where do you start, right? Where do you begin? And I think you just got to simplify everything, get to the bottom of the problem. I guess what I'm telling you, David, is I don't know. I don't know where they start with this football team, with what they just put on film. The last two games, I'd have to sit guys down and I'd have to show them their film and I'd have to ask them, why on this play are you giving this effort, right? Why do you look like this on the football field after as much money as we've paid you guys to play this football game? What is the problem? I'd have to ask everybody that. I'd have to ask Shane Waldron about his concepts that he's running out there. I'd have to ask them, why is Caleb Williams making so many checks out there? Why is he checking when we're at 2nd and 5? Why is he checking to a play-action pass and after 5 or 6 seconds getting dropped for a sack? Why are we doing that to start off the second half, right? Why did you do that? Why did you take that sack? You'd have to ask them questions and try to get them moving in the right direction again. Get them playing good football again. Get them believing again. How do you do that with the same people in the room? What a tough job they got out there up there this morning at Halas Hall, looking for answers and looking at each other, getting in the room and trying to figure this out. Because the hardest thing to do is to get that team moving in the right direction again when you lost a little belief. But all you just gotta, I know it sounds simple, but you gotta execute the simple plays and get first downs and get the ball moving and get the ball in the guy's hands. You saw DJ Moore when he caught the ball. He said, get me the effing ball, right? Get me the effing ball. Right there, if I'm on the sideline with the play card, I got my DJ Moore sheet. And I'm like, how do I get this guy the ball? Because they played a lot of cover one.
So, Olin, when the offensive line is in trouble, and they're clearly in trouble, they're on backups to backups, your $10 million guard, you finally are going to use him, you need him, and his back goes out on him, whatever happened. What is getting them lathered and heading downfield the best idea? In other words, don't offensive linemen, generally speaking, love to run the football? Can't you change your offense to more of a power O type version where you attempt to, take a lot of the decision making away from the quarterback, don't have him sitting back in the pocket too long, and try to run some power offense? Wouldn't that be a way of at least changing what you're doing?
Yeah, looking for answers, especially when you have your fourth string guard in there, your fourth string tackle is lined up in there. You're looking for answers, and they did. They tried some sprints, and they took sacks on those two, right? And they took sacks late in the game with 2 minutes left. They took 2 or 3 sacks, and they were just looking for answers. Sometimes they got overwhelmed. The Patriots noticed, right? Those guys are smart, too. They noticed when you got backups in and they just started sending blitzes and sending people at Caleb and making him get the ball out quick, which wasn't happening. So, yes, run the ball. That's always what you want to do when you have backup offensive linemen in there, especially at home. Run the ball downhill. Be really stubborn with it, right? Really, really stubborn. I'm going to run the ball on first and second down and maybe even on third down, and we'll see what we get. And then move the pocket. get Caleb outside of the pocket. Some of those things, to be honest with you guys, they tried yesterday. I'm going to be really honest with you guys here. Their offensive line is broken. You guys heard me scream about that for a while, right? Scream about the fact that you could get to this point. You guys have heard me talk about that relentlessly, about the fact that they haven't put enough assets in that offensive line. We're talking about since they drafted Jimbo Covert in 1983. They haven't put enough assets into the Chicago Bears offensive line. One of my biggest frustrations is the fact that you come into Halas Hall, your former offensive lineman, you've studied the history of this place. When's the last time we drafted an offensive lineman who developed into a football player? You're talking to him, right? So there's a problem, right? That's 1998 we're talking about now. So that's my biggest frustration with what Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham did, is they came in here and they ignored the history of the franchise, of the fact that you were going to get to this point. And they're right, and you're right. You guys are all right about the offensive line struggling. But I will tell you this also. The film tells me that the whole unit is struggling. The receivers, right? Caleb is missing wide open receivers, guys. DJ Moore, he missed. Romo Dunze dropped the ball. They're taking sacks on 6-second play action passes, right? The ball's still not coming out there, right? That is my frustration when I watch this film. I wish I could point to the offensive line and say, man, that is the only problem. Let's get that fixed. That is completely wrong. It's completely wrong after I watched the film this morning. That whole offense is broken, right? And we talked about yesterday. You're moving the ball. All of a sudden, you're on the line of scrimmage quickly, and Caleb's checking the plays. If you ask me, he's checking to the wrong place, right? He threw the ball to DJ Moore on a 33 yesterday on a fake guard tackle counter. He orbit motion. DJ Moore's in the flat. You guys all remember this. Keenan Allen got beat on the block. You got to hand the ball off there. It's a first down. It's a first down. You got to hand the ball off. So, the whole offense, guys, the whole offense needs to go back to work. I wish it was just the offensive line. Look, if they can fix the positions that do have the talent, fix those positions, and then I can just say, man, this offensive line is broken, which it is, right? They have a lot of backups in there. But this offense has, as a unit, as play calling, from receivers to quarterbacks to running back. There was a play yesterday where they pitched it to DeAndre Swift. I think Moose Johnson pointed out, if he keeps it outside, he may score. Yeah. He cuts it up inside, guys. This offense is not moving the ball. No one's playing at a high level. Coach Eberflus, when he watches his film, he's probably like me. What the hell do we do with this? Where do we find the answers?
This segment with Olin Kreutz is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. What you're describing, I think, is obviously there are personnel issues and deficiencies, but what you're describing, I think, is also under the broad umbrella of coaching. You can find ways to mitigate these kind of weaknesses, I think, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but would changing a play caller, would changing an offensive approach, maybe taking some responsibilities away from your rookie quarterback and dictating what is going to happen in the huddle and carrying through with some of these things, can you coach your way out of this mess offensively if you're the Bears?
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, what is your foundation, right? What are the things you worked on in March and April? Is the things I would talk to Coach Waldron, Coach Morgan, the offensive staff, I would talk to them about this and ask, how far are we away from that, right? And sometimes this is the problem you get into when you start bringing the players in and asking them, what plays do you want to run? What concepts do you like? What things do you guys like? And taking their feedback and just doing that, right? And all of a sudden, we're doing these things. Look, the players, a lot of us know football, right? A lot of us know a lot of football. A lot of us know a lot of concepts. But when we're playing, guys, we don't put in the time that these coaches do. We don't put in the hours, the minutes, studying films, in building, creating concepts, laying down foundations of what we're going to be on offense. And you turn your offense into that. And all of a sudden, it may work for 1 week or 2 weeks, but you're so far away from the things you built. And like I said, in March and April and May, you become something new, and that's not your foundation. And all of a sudden, your offense looks like this, right? So I would tell Shane Waldron, look, man, if I was Coach Eberflus this morning, I would say, look, you're on your way to getting fired anyway. Why not go out calling the damn plays you want to call, right? Why not put your feet in the ground and say, guys, look, run the damn play the way we drew it up, right? I know you were struggling with it. I know, but look, we tried everybody's way, and it's not working. So why don't we go back to doing what we do, what we put in, what we installed in the offseason? And if it is time to move on, and if Coach Eberflus does move on, what does that guy go to, guys? Well, he didn't get a chance to install his offense, right? He doesn't get a chance to install his concepts. I don't know. You guys have to show me somewhere, somehow that this worked, that they moved, that someone changed the play caller mid-season and that worked for that football team. I'm sure it has. I'd like to take a look at it and see why it worked. And then I would install it. So if Coach Eberflus can tell me, look, I remember I was here. I remember Tony Wise, as you guys always have him in that radio station. Great football coach, great online coach. Dave wants his friend. He always says this. If the guy that the film we're watching, if that play, if that guy who installed it is not in the room, I don't want to hear about it. And what he's saying is you don't know all the details that they needed to run that play, right? So all of a sudden we give Thomas Brown the job. We give Kerry Joseph the job. They don't even know. They have to run Shane Waldron's concepts, guys. They have to run that offense. They can't change the whole offense in 1 week midseason. And new ideas may help. A fresh look may help. But I'm going to tell you how long it's going to help for. 1 or 2 weeks.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. So, Olin, you know, when we talk about the ideas they had, the things they were going to do, the concepts, they got a lot of skill position players. They loaded this team up with skill position players. DJ Moore already here to go out and get a guy like Keenan Allen. The way that, you know, we talk about him is like a third down machine. Always you can look to him. They paid Cole Kmet. They finally used him a little bit, maybe a couple plays in a row yesterday, maybe three, and the first one didn't work. But why? How long does it take to build up the sort of rapport that you see around the league between different receivers and different quarterbacks? I'm not sure how often we've seen it in Chicago. I remember it well when Jeff Graham was here and he and Eric Kramer actually had a great rapport for a year. But it feels like what the promise of that has long dissipated or gone. For some reason, these great receivers aren't being used or they're not being found or there isn't the sort of chemistry you would expect to have developed.
I like that. I like thinking about a Chicago Bear history, quarterback, wide receiver rapport, right? I think about, can we go Cade McNown, Marcus Robinson, maybe,
sure.
Right? Or Jim Miller, Marty Booker.
Yeah.
That would be a great exercise.
but it doesn't happen very often.
No, I know, especially here, right? Especially here, it doesn't happen very often. And yesterday, they had a few concepts that worked. Right? You guys remember them stacking DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. They would stack them, and Keenan Allen ran that out route, and that was nice. And it's taking a lot longer than you want to be, and you can hear their frustration when they come up there and they speak to the media about why that's not working and why these things aren't moving in the right direction. And like we talked about, they have all these guys, people on staff, right? They have a pass game coordinator. They have a offensive coordinator. They have a quarterback coach. They have a wide receiver coach, right? And then they have all this money in those skill position rooms. And no, the offensive line isn't playing good. And I know it's popular to say you can't do anything when the offensive line is playing like that, right? It's probably popular to say that on every level of football, right? But here's the deal. You put all that money in those skill position rooms, and then you scream about the offensive line. That's crazy to me, right? It really is crazy to me. We're waiting for somebody where all the money, where all the draft picks are stacked, right? The number 9 pick, the number 1 pick in a draft, $20 million to this receiver, $20 million to that receiver, $10 million to the running back, $10 million to the tight end. It looked to me like yesterday, someone on the sideline told Caleb, hey, why don't you throw it to Cole Kmet? And then he stubbornly just kept throwing it to him, right? That looks to me like someone who's being stubborn and pouting a little bit, to be honest with you, right? Hey, why aren't you hitting Cole Kmet? Why aren't you hitting Cole Kmet? Well, let me just fling the ball at him 3 times in a row, and maybe you guys will be quiet over there on the sideline. That's what it looks like to me when I watch those plays in a row. So, yes, they're not – the offensive line is struggling, but like I told you guys, that's what I'm saying. The film is telling me their skill positions are also struggling. They're also not making plays. They're also making the easy things hard. I saw Kurt Warner. You guys have him on. They have him on the Score in the Afternoon show tweet out that the concepts, the offense is frustrating him. Everybody looks frustrated. How long does it take for a quarterback and a wide receiver to get on the same page? It all depends on who the quarterback and the wide receiver are. And these guys are taking a long time to get this thing moving in the right direction. And as you guys can hear, and as you guys are going to do all day this morning, and you have guys on right now, man, the answers at Halas Hall, they're like points at Soldier Field. They're buried under the foundation and they're hard to find.
Great stuff, Olin.
Great stuff, Olin. Thank you,
appreciate
buddy.
It, guys.
Hang in there.
That is Olin Kreutz. It's great. It's just he just knows so much about the history of the franchise and the way things work up
there. Yeah, and I think he's also very honest about what people need to be honest about, and that is it's beyond just this offensive line that can't protect the passer or establish a running game. There's responsibility shared by everyone in that offensive huddle, including, and not the least of which, is the quarterback. Caleb Williams has been disappointing, and he bears responsibility for a lot of things that are going on right now, and it's not going well.
Olin sounds like he doesn't believe there will be a play caller change. He doesn't believe there's going to be change heading into the Green Bay Packers game. What do you think of that?
He's been in that building a long time when change was needed, and it didn't happen. So I think that's probably a conditioned response.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you willing to be fired without ever exploring the possibility that the offense could be better with better offensive game planning and play calling by changing the coordinator?
Yeah, like I said, we'll look at everything. I think it's look from everything from the top to the bottom and making sure that we're finding the answers to move the ball on the field, you know, play better as a football team on offense, defense, and special teams.
Change in offensive play caller is on the table this week.
I just said we're looking at everything. Everything's going to be looked at.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. What an incredibly blunt question. Are you willing to be held accountable if you, without changing the, I mean, it's.
Are you willing to be fired?
Well, that's it.
Yeah, that's essentially
that's
what's being
everyone
asked.
Everyone is asking the guy, directly. Hey, you realize you're about to be thrown out.
Right.
And it's an incredible thing to, you know, it's really hard. You get to know people, you get to know them, and you have a, if you have any sympathy, empathy in your heart, it's really hard to ask those questions in a public setting. It's been done, and we've all had to do it, but it's just incredibly awkward to talk about the end of someone's career or the, you know, the change of their life and their family and where they live and, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, are you willing to never throw another Gatsby party?
It's a tough balance to strike. And I think that's when you go back to rationalizing or justifying some of those questions and the tough rhetoric with pointing to the salaries these coaches are paid. Exactly. They're paid quite well to take on this kind of pressure and to face these kinds of questions and scrutiny. Because Matt Eberflus reportedly makes $4.5 million a year. So if you feel that empathy when he's asked a question that directly, I think you also kind of couch it within all of that. Shane Waldron, same kind of deal. Now, look, the offensive coordinator position in the NFL is the most tenuous role in that sport. Since 2022, all 32 teams have changed offensive coordinators. Last year in the offseason, 16 of the 32 teams had new offensive coordinators. The Bears were one of them. He's being paid $2 million a year, reportedly, for that role. Now, he's not doing it very well. The Bears, if they wake up this morning committed to change, they'll change the head coach. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
So I don't think we need to – we can talk about whatever people want to talk about. That is the role of the fan base, and everybody's got a role to play. But I think more realistically, changing play callers or maybe making a change in the operation is what we should come to expect at Halas Hall today. I don't see them firing anybody today.
No,
if that's different and it changes, we'll adjust. But it would not be on brand for the Bears to act in that way.
No, I think that maybe the most extreme response would be to demote Shane Waldron, have someone else call the Packers game and have him move from the sideline to the box in an attempt to have him see the entirety of the field. Just have a different vision of what is unfolding.
I don't want to correct you, but you mean the most realistic, not extreme, because I don't think that's extreme at all. I think that's probably the most practical way to address this problem.
Yeah, I you did correct me, and I thank you for it.
No, I mean, but that's what you mean.
Yes. But I don't feel like they're going to fire him today.
I don't either.
I just don't. I think you got to know what you're dealing with, and it may be ultimately dissatisfying to people.
It will be wholly dissatisfying to people.
There's no
shadow of a doubt. It will irritate and aggravate and all those things because we want some sort of retribution and accountability and all those things that people want when they talk about what's not happening with the Bears offense.
And I think that this will probably still be Matt Eberflus making the call and saying what's going on, as opposed to getting the general manager to come down to the podium. I don't think that's a bad idea to explain to people why you're moving forward despite the problems that you've had.
Well, it depends on how much he believes in it. I think if you don't hear from Ryan Poles, I think you're hearing from Ryan Poles. Because I think that if you don't hear from Ryan Poles coming down midseason, giving the dreaded vote of confidence to the way things are being handled
that
here.
That would be a mistake, though. Because here's the problem. If you let Eberflus handle it, then what you're saying, without giving the dreaded vote of confidence, you're saying he's our head coach and we're letting him handle this. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We still believe in him. That's what you're saying. When you don't fire someone in season, it isn't about what their contract status is. It shouldn't be, because this is they're talking about building a $4.7 billion stadium.
How much does that factor into what the decision making is now?
I don't think it factors.
I don't either. But I do think people will point to that. And I myself, earlier this morning, questioned where is Kevin Warren in all of this?
But Kevin Warren sits in his office with a photo of George Halas next to him. Is he supposed to come out and say, we're going to follow what they did in the 1940s? It's just a problem.
I don't want him following anything that has to do with the 1940s.
No.
I think that you are respectful of that tradition, but you can't be paralyzed by it. And when you're talking about Kevin Warren's next move, when we hear from Kevin Warren, it would be to not necessarily reassure everybody that Matt Eberflus is the guy making the right decisions. It would be to announce that you're moving on with another head coach in the beginning of a search. I don't think we're there yet.
No, I don't think
so. But I think that when we hear from him next in a meaningful way, that will be what we hear. Today is about, to me, and the way you describe it is I think, accurate and a product of experience that I think that you have and understanding of the Bears organization. When you take Shane Waldron and say, put him in the booth, and you allow Thomas Brown to call the plays, change for the sake of change, you're protecting the reputation more than you are maybe dictating different results. You may have the same results. Olin Kreutz is right on point. You're not going to change offensive concepts midseason.
No.
This is not Major League Baseball. It's not the NBA. You can't just implement something different. This is the system that you're talking about. You're just getting somebody who's going to change maybe the rhythm, maybe change the communication, maybe change something that needs to be changed. And I think that is subtle, but it could be also significant.
I agree with you. 312-644-6767. Let's try Raul. He's in Michigan. Hey, Raul.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How's you guys feeling?
Yeah. You know, still unwell.
Yeah, me too.
But for different reasons.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think we should keep Shane Getsy, I think that's his name, Shane Getsy, as our OC for the rest of the year. sacrifice our happiness and a couple hours every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, for the good of football. That way no one tires these monkeys anymore. Get them out of football for good.
Wow. Thanks, Raul.
Thanks, Raul. Appreciate
there
the phone
was
call.
There was like an undercurrent. There was a passive aggressiveness to that.
A little
call.
Bit, you think?
I don't think he wants to keep everyone. I think he may have been facetious.
Yes. A lot of that going around.
I'm picking up on this stuff better. More, I pick up on it more now that we work together for so long.
That's great.
You're really working on me. Let's try Kevin. He's in Crown Point.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. We never drafted with a position of power. I think Ryan Poles should be out of here for listening to the media, sports media. You guys have really did us a disservice as far as the fans goes. We were telling you guys on the radio station all last year we wanted to keep Justin Fields. You laughed at us. You mocked us, made us seem like we were idiots. You were too busy listening to Colin Cowherd and all these national sports guys who were opening up their show about our offense last year when we were telling you what we wanted. DJ Moore told you what we wanted. Jalen Johnson said it. Ryan Poles, he had the number one pick. We didn't get the number one pick because we were a bad team. We got it by a little bit of luck. But he never drafted from a position of power. He had the number one pick. He didn't have to do – he could have traded. He could have did a lot of different things. But none of that was on the table. We always made the feel like if we don't draft Caleb, then we're just idiots. I'm talking about 70,000 screaming fans were saying we want Justin, and you guys poo-pooed it off like we were just some fanatics. David Hall said it himself. Like we were just, oh, you're just a fan. Yeah, just a fan. Look at us now. It's a shame what Chicago sports media has been doing to this city for quite some time. The Brad Biggs, the David Halls, the Danny Parkinsons, all these clowns have been ruining our team because you guys are running the team from behind the desk, and it's pathetic.
Thanks, Kevin. Well, appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Kevin.
I think it's a fair criticism if you want to look at it. People were, like, ready for the Bears to move on from Justin Fields. I don't still think today, as we sit here and the Bears are 4-5 after scoring 27 points since the bye, leading for 25 seconds and being 6-40 for third downs the last 3 weeks, I still am not going to sit here and say that they made the wrong decision by pivoting to Caleb Williams. I still believe Caleb Williams can be a franchise quarterback.
Mea culpa, tutti mea culpa.
Okay.
What more can I say?
Speak for yourself.
I did. It's mea culpa. My fault. I apologize on my behalf.
I
should have drafted differently.
I think you can criticize Ryan Poles for drafting in a way that did not prioritize the offensive line and that infrastructure. We'll talk about that. Olin Krutz alluded to that. But I also think you can make the argument after Jaden Daniels has had in a first half of his first season looking like an MVP, right? Fair enough. Caleb Williams had the worst day of all four rookie quarterbacks yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We can accept that he's in a period of regression right now. I don't believe that he was the wrong quarterback for the Bears, and I do believe that he's going to be successful one day. Does that relate to what they should have done with Justin Fields? Everybody is fair game with if you want to blame the media. Blame the media. We are here to have opinions. They're not going to be always in agreement with the fan base or always going to be right. But you have to offer them.
Why do you fail to listen to the fan base when they chant things to you?
They weren't chanting at me.
That's what he,
it might
that
be,
was his point.
Might be a few today. I don't know.
That was his point.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. We've got to get to a break, but we regret.
A region guy picking on another region guy. How
that's
about
pretty
that?
Incredible. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Notice none of the Southsiders are calling from my head. We stand by each other.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. We'll be right back. 312-644-6767. Mully and Hall on the score.
The man said that he is on the table. He's evaluating whether to make a change in offensive play caller. Do you think that's something you could adapt to midseason?
They're not going to reinvent the wheel in a sense, you know. We're midseason. That's not a decision for me. I have to do what Coach says. I have to do with whatever decision he makes, and I have to be fine with it. Will I be able to adapt? Yes, I will. We will be able to adapt whatever Coach make decision he makes. And then, from there, we have to go out there and execute and win games.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is a good question to Caleb Williams and an interesting answer.
If you're looking for the green light from the quarterback, you just got it.
Yeah.
He did not defend Shane Waldron. I think there are some things that are indefensible, but Caleb Williams, while acknowledging you're not going to, quote, reinvent the wheel, agree with that. Change for the sake of change might be something you embrace, and he certainly sounded open to it.
All right. We've got a lot of people who want to check in. Let's get to our buddy John. John's in Joliet. Hey, John, how are you, bud?
You know, good morning, guys. First of all, I just want to wish my fellow veterans happy Veterans Day. But every 3 or 4 years, we watch the same car crash on Lakeshore Drive, and it just seems like it's repetitive. For the last 4 coaches we've had, from Trestman all the way till now, it just seems like it's the same thing over and over. And I don't blame anybody in the media. I blame the people making decisions on hiring those general managers, those new coaches. It's the same thing that's happening, and it's dreadful to watch it. I have 4 tickets for that Packers game, and next week as we walk into that stadium, it's like cattle walking into a slaughterhouse. I hate feeling this way. I love the Chicago Bears, but gosh darn it, it's just so painful to just hear the excuses and the fans being mad. The older I get as a Chicago Bear fan, it hurts more and more. I just don't know when this car crash is going to end, but I won't stop being a Bears fan, but I just wish to get this. I wish they would just get this damn thing right and figure it out. Gosh, have a great day, guys.
Thanks, John. Yep,
that's a lot of frustration there.
A lot of passion there.
A lot of people feeling that way.
Totally.
A lot of people wondering, you know, when will we see a change? When will it be done right? And it's a legitimate question.
It's a first step, because I think what you heard from John is what you sense from a lot of people, is that not only do they want to see some sort of response to what happened yesterday in this season, but when are things going to be pointing in the right direction? You got a sense of that during the preseason. That's why those expectations. August was great, wasn't it? August was wonderful. We had a lot of hope in the city. You had the Hard Knocks bounce with enthusiasm. And there was a lot of realistic expectations that the Bears could be competitive and contend in the NFL's toughest division. And just 3 weeks ago, Molly, they were coming back from London on a high.
Yeah.
What happened during the bye week? Mike Tomlin comes out of bye weeks. He's 14-4.
Yeah.
The Bears come out of bye weeks. They're firing people.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because, the Bears feel this kinship to the Steelers. Family-run organizations, obviously. George Halas was good friends with the Maras, good friends with the Rooneys, and there is this sort of kinship that is felt that really has no basis in reality, because where the Steelers have preserved a certain standard and are living up to it right now, despite all the change that have been made and thrust upon them, and boy, they got a hell of a
They coach. Created change themselves. Yes. They reacted to a crisis in their own building, in their own organization, and they went out and they remade the position of quarterback, and they got Justin Fields, who's been better coached in Pittsburgh. He did a nice job starting the season, and boy, Russell Wilson has done a tremendous job continuing it.
He's 3-0 now?
He's 3-0, and he looks like Russ in Seattle, putting the ball where it needs to be. It helps to have George Pickens catching everything in sight. But Russell Wilson has done the job that they thought he could do if everything was going right, and everything seems to be going right now in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's really something, and good for them, good people. 312-644-6767. Sean is in Romeoville. Hey, Sean.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I hope you're feeling better, buddy. Glad to have you back on the air.
Thank you so much.
Make a quick statement. I don't think Eberflus wanted someone threatening like Kingsbury behind him. I'll leave that there. I guess what bothers me, man, I just hope that Caleb is good enough to overcome the dysfunction that has continued. Because it looks like if things are trending the way I think they're trending, for the third straight first round quarterback won't be attached to the hip with the GM and the coach. And it's unfortunate, because it didn't serve our last 2 quarterbacks well, and I think Caleb has the opportunity or chance to be better than those guys, but the dysfunction continues, and I just hope he's good enough to overcome it. I'm not sure if he is, but I'm hoping he is, because if it isn't, it's going to be a really sad time for this organization and this city. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Feel better, man.
Thanks.
I think that's a great call because that is...
Because he's concerned for my health?
Yes, I think he's very concerned for your health and Caleb Williams. But I think I'm more concerned about your health than Caleb Williams.
Oh, bless you.
It's a really good point moving forward, and that is one of your bigger concerns coming out of this season, is that can you limit the damage done to your rookie quarterback who you think is a franchise guy? And, Molly, that's not unrelated to what we're talking about, what could happen today. If you feel like making a change at the play caller position just to maybe do some things differently, take a different approach, moving the pocket, calling shorter drops, not putting him in harm's way as often as he seems to be in harm's way, then you do that, because what you had now have shifted to your priorities. Instead of contending for a playoff spot, it's now about developing your quarterback.
He's taken, I think, 38 sacks this year.
Now. Yes. He's on pace. I mean, he's on a David Carr-like path. David Carr never recovered from his rookie season.
You can ruin a quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's frightening to think about that. That's also a team that came into the game with 16 sacks on the season, and they got to him 9 times.
They got more than half of their sack total yesterday.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
I mean,
16 coming in, they left with 25.
That is
do the
absurd.
Math. It's crazy. And the Bears weren't able to adjust to that. So I think you now shift your priorities. You want to win games. You've got to win. Try to win games. You also have to protect your quarterback and develop him and prevent him from developing bad habits.
Your quarterback is in peril right now,
yeah,
whether you accept that or not. And you are just over halfway through your season. And guess what? It gets a lot harder from here. It gets a lot more difficult.
And when you heard that kind of quasi plea for help, that was exactly what it was. Please change something.
Yes.
And if it means changing the offensive coordinator or play caller, he is okay with that.
I think we all are. Let's try Michael. Michael's in Rockford. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
First thing I want to talk about is whether or not Chicago teams are putting profit over success. I think that we have teams that the ownership doesn't want to make moves that will cost them money. And so that's kind of interesting that way. Number one, did Olin Krutz say that the kids' gloves on yesterday's games are big, right? I mean, we're handling this. He got a fight in the locker room one time. Maybe that's what we need, is our offensive linemen to maybe get in a fight. I mean, tough it up. I was told when I was played football that you put a team in a forest and the quarterbacks keep away from the trees, the running backs go around them, and the linemen go through them. And I don't think we have linemen that go through trees anymore.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate the phone call. I don't know. The Bears need a good fight, huh?
Oh, man. Olin still is capable of a good fist fight. They should bring him in.
I'd bring him in.
I would, too. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.